being recorded. Don't say anything you don't want on the record. We've quoted this Gemara before. Source one, Amar Rabbi Yossi. He chelki mi gomrei halel b'chol yom. Rabbi Yossi says, I wish that my portion would be of those who complete halel every day. I want to be able to say halel every day. We'll talk about what that means. Why would you wish for it? Why don't you just do it? And then the Gemara immediately asks, Amy, the expression of, what are you talking about? Is that right? That can't be right. From our Mar, we have this rule that Mar said, anyone who says halal every day is a blasphemer, a heretic. Can't say halal every day. The Gemara answers, Kika Amrinan, what Rabbi Yossi is talking about when he said, oh, if only I could say halal every day, it's the Pesukim de Zimra. He's talking about what we call Pesukim de Zimra. It's a healing that we say at the beginning of davening. That's halal every day. We have this idea, we have two halals. One we say on halal, one we say on holidays. We have another halal that we say every day, Pesukim de Zimra. The general understanding of this Gemara is, why is it problematic to say halal every day? And the answer is because the takana was to say it to celebrate miracles. Miracles don't happen every day. That's a fundamental theological principle in Judaism. That an important article of faith is that everyday life, you wake up in the morning, that's a miracle. It's what we call a nes nistar. The open miracles where God, you know, strikes people down by lightning, has, you know, turns the Nile into blood and brings frogs out and all that. That's a once in a while thing, and that's a failure. You're supposed to have faith in Hashem on the way the world works on an everyday. If you're saying halal, saying the halal of miracles every day, you're implying that that's what God's all about. The obvious open miracles. And the universe somehow works independently of that. Hashem just intervenes once in a while. That's the Mecharef Megadev. That's the way Rashi puts it. Mecharef Megadev. Someone who says halal every day is a blasphemer, it's a heretic. Nevi'im Rishonim, Tiknu, because the original Nevi'im, way back when, back in Egypt, set up this takana, set up the rule, Lomar b'prakim l'shabeach l'hodaya k'amrim hori Pesach, that they made these prakim of halal to be said at moments of celebration. Ze'akora tamid b'lo ita, if you're just saying every day in a time that's not a time, eino elab k'mizamer shir mitzlotzit, that's something, now you're turning it just to a song. You're not celebrating a miracle. That's not happening today. That's Rashi's perspective. And the Mishnah Chachma puts it, this is something we actually quoted on the Chumash Yira on Shabbos as well. Anyan, the idea is that miracles, open, obvious miracles, things that are against nature, are not the point of the world. It's not the tachlis. It's not the reason why the world was created. They represent a failure. That God decided, okay, this isn't working. We're going to have to actually intervene and change something. It's cheating. Because God created the world. The world's supposed to work according to the rules of nature. The Kabbalistic idea that nature is the daughter of God. That this is Hashem's. Created the world, the world's supposed to work this way. That's the rules are there, already set in place. We're supposed to work within them, and Hashem allows us to survive within the rules as created. Kol tachil and everything that comes out of that, every result of that. Shemida tayachol yot, open bracha, that everything that happens in terms of bracha, that when we're successful, if ritzava, oshim, rubab, li die, and we can be phenomenally wealthy, happy, all the things that we get, all happens within the laws of nature. But a hidden miracle. God gives it to us without violating the laws of nature. But our role is to understand, to recognize that still is Hashem looking out for us. And the laws of nature is just a succession of one miracle after another one. That's a theological idea, that God created the world, created the natural world. We don't need a miracle to see Hashem's presence in the world.
Danny, don't we pray every day? Don't we always thank God for recreating the world every day?
Yes, that's exactly the idea. That we're not looking for what we would call a miracle. In fact, the world still exists, right? Right? The miracles and the wonders that are every moment, that's not talking about Shemaka, direct revelation. It's talking about the fact that I can wake up in the morning. The fact that Hashem created coffee. That's obviously Hashem loves us, right?
And Starbucks.
Usually that's said about beer, but I'm not a beer person. Right? That's a sign that God loves us. That, I mean, the fact that the world exists, and then you get into all these points that Gary Forman likes to talk about, the fact that the coincidences that are necessary for a coherent universe to exist are just unbelievable. You don't have to see God's hand there, but you should, and that's what Halel B'chol Yom means. But, this is the Meshech Chacham saying, a miracle that's not part of nature. That's not really the wonder. Like the fact that God created man. Manna came down from heaven and fed the Jews. On Shabbos, that was a failure on the Jews' part. They were complaining. If they hadn't complained, they would simply have had enough food without open miracles. It would have just worked. The real wonder in nature is the fact that we actually survive. We actually wake up in the morning. We have food to eat. Life exists. The fact that things exist and all these parts work together, all these separate parts somehow work together. And the fact that all life, the infinite numbers of living creatures in Mazon, and they survive. They have what's called parnasa in the Jewish literature. Everyone gets what they need to eat. This is what shows God's wisdom. And this is God's glory for someone who can understand that. And that's the way we're supposed to look at it. It's possible to go to the bathroom. There was a wonderful article in JAMA, the Journal of Medical Association, probably 30 years ago, by someone who actually talking about that. Talking about his son, who was in kidney failure, and the fact that he was religious and never appreciated that, what it meant to actually thank Hashem for the ability to have all the holes working in the right way. That's what we're supposed to appreciate, and that's Yotermi Masha Morehani say, much more than anything that a miracle would show. And we'll quote Albert Einstein. So Albert Einstein didn't actually say this, but it's a good quote anyway. He actually said it was completely unrelated to this, but there are two ways to live your life. One is though nothing is a miracle. The other is though everything is. So the message of Psukei Zimra specifically, as a potahal, we say Psukei Zimra, those five parakim of Tehillim, is that everything is a miracle. And that's worth thanking Hashem. That's the kind of halal that we're supposed to say every day. We start Psukei Zimra with Ashrei. Everyone knows Ashrei, but David. We all remember this, right? That's the climax of that parrot. You open your hand and you serve everything and you satisfy everything with favor. And that's what we say every day. And Rabbi Yossi says, I want to be one of those who will gomri halal b'chol yom, literally who finish halal every day, who not only said the beginning, the ashrei, but actually said the whole thing. Actually, when he says, if only I could be that, he meant, if only I could have the kavanah to say it. Obviously, it's possible to mumble the words, but they should actually mean what it says. So we're going to try to understand what those words are. And that's where the Shulchan Aruch says, that it's better to say a couple of tehillim and mean it and know what you're saying then say a lot without any kavanah, without any intention at all. That's true for all these long, boring parts of tefillah. Skip it. The Tachanun, just say one paragraph, not the whole long thing for Monday and Thursday. I'm not your rabbi. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I'm your advice. Same thing is true for Pesukei Zimra. What you should do is come early enough you can say everything but Kavanah. But if you can't say them all, then you just say parts of them. And this is the Ben Yodah commenting on that Gemara in Shabbos about if only I could complete challah every day. Early, he said to Bishmael, that if, I understand this Gemara. The Amru Gomrei Hallel, that when you're saying, I want to finish Hallel on Pesukei Zimra, you're talking about that last pasuk of Kol HaShema Ta'alolka. Right? We say Ashrei, we say the five Hallelujahs, and we end with Kol HaShema Ta'alolka. That's the last pasuk. That's the point he's saying. I want to be able to get to the point where I can say that. That a person should praise God with every breath, about every breath. The kol neshama doesn't mean everyone, every living thing should praise God, but kol neshama, all of my neshama needs to praise God. Everything about me should praise God. Machshava, and my thought, lo yasur zem levecha, and I shouldn't lose this. I lose this forever. Vashrei amakayim masha amar fatu, shu gemara halal. That's what it means. The happy is the one who can fulfill this, who can actually say, kol neshama ta, that my entire neshama praises God. Shema halal Hashem yitbarach machashav, tell that I think God's praises, al kol neshima neshima be'amen, on every breath that I take, and I can thank God for that. That summarizes all of Pesukei Zimra. And so specifically those prakim of Tehillim that we talk about go from Perek Kufem Hei, from Perek 145, which is the Ashrei, to Kufnon, the last Perek of Tehillim, chapter 150. For those who have been listening to me, and I appreciate that you had the patience, so it's been almost 10 years of giving this year.
I can't believe it, Jimmy. 10 years.
10 years. It was August of 2012.
Wow, I remember it was the summer.
Let me start. One of the first shiurim I gave was a discussion of Ashrei, called the Concerto for All Generations. Looking at the structure of Ashrei. I'm not going to go into that because I assume everybody knows it in the back of their heads, but noticing that it's a kind of dialogue. It goes back and forth between first person, the author talking to God, and then third person, that the people as a whole talking about God in the third person. It's Aromim Chal Kamel, I will praise you, O King. And it goes back to the Dor L'Dor, that all generations address God, Chanun Baruchum Hashem, in the third person. God is merciful. And this discussion back and forth about how do you praise God. David, it starts out Tila David, and David says, Aromim Chal Kamel, that God, I will glorify you, O King, and b'chol yom b'varchekan, I will bless you every day. That's what he wants to do. He wants to bless God every day. That's the, I want to say halal b'chol yom. But he realizes in the third pasuk, that's impossible. You can't praise God. Nigdulato en cheker, meaning there is no way to describe God's greatness. How do we actually have the chutzpah to praise Hashem? The answer is, dor l'dor yishabach masecha. Look at previous generations. How did previous generations do it? And they were yishabach masecha. They praised your actions, oh God. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk about the wonderful things that you do. And there is a wonderful quote from Nefesh HaRav, which was Herschel Schachter's memoirs of Rav Soloveitchik, his halachic memoirs. These are the things that Rav Soloveitchik did that Rav Schachter wrote down right after Soloveitchik had passed away. It's kind of remember what it was, his halachic opinions. Talking about this idea. So this is source 7. Nogel tefillah, yesh ben agadola. With respect to prayer, sabni, there's a huge problem. Ech hutar lo adam l'sader shevachav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why are we allowed to sit down and list God's praises? Gemara talks about this, right? Because you can't finish. You're going to say something, and it's obviously inadequate. God's infinite. And that by doing that, you're actually denigrating, you're insulting. Expression is damning with faint praise. But everything's faint praise in respect to Hashem. And I am Gemara Megillah and Yechet. The Gemara talks about that, where somebody started davening and they said, Akel, Gadol, Gibor, Benara, Chanun, you kept going. And one of the Amoraim said, you can't do that. We have a fixed text. That's what gives you permission to do that. But you're making your own stuff up. Means that you're going to say something inadequate. So that's the question. How are we allowed to praise at all? How can we have the chutzpah to do that? The chen tzarechiyon, and similarly, we need to look. Almas almas shemavakshim me'ed akarish baruch hu, akol tzarechiyim ha-pu'utim. But how can we sit there and ask God for all these pikiyun, little needs that we have, a katantanim, these trivial things, pratim shalanu. We ask God for all these trivial things. You actually have to be creator of the universe for food, money, me. But can you have the chutzpah to do that? I think I've seen that Rav Soloveitchik used the term as the horrific ontic arrogance. I haven't actually found the source of that. Remember that term, because it's the arrogance of saying, hey God, I exist. Pay attention to me. Can we do that? Is it polite? Is it reasonable to do that? Here's the word here. Nudnik kazeh. Can you be a nudnik like that? And the actual, in the Sefer, in the Nefesh Arab, it's got a footnote defining what a nudnik is. I assume everyone knows what a nudnik is, right? How can you be a nudnik in front of Hashem? It's a melech machem lachim akarish baruch hu, l'vakeshim men adabrim shekar elo. How can we ask God for these sorts of things? That filu etzel melech basar v'adam, that even with a mortal king, who's in charge of one little country, or Irachat, or one little city, we wouldn't arrogate wouldn't give ourselves permission to do such a thing. Ask for all these little things. So that's why we need permission. We need permission in order to daven. We're too much of a nundik, too arrogant to do otherwise. The nirashem matir hu ashrei. So that's the matir that we are saying. The thing that gives us permission to pray is ashrei. When we say ashrei, we're reading basically David's questioning, how can I praise God? And the answer is darla dar yishach masecha. That's why we're saying it then. That's the introduction to our tefillot. Ekeinu rima oto gam kodem shachrit gam kodem mincha, because that's why we say it at the introduction. It's the introduction to Mincha, that whatever we're about to do, I'm about to say Shemot Esrei, V'nira Pasuk Sheva Ashrei, HaMishameshka HaMatir, it appears that the Pasuk that gives us permission, that we're quoting, the precedent, that we're allowed to pray before God, who crossed the Pasuk of Dor L'Dor Yishabach Masecha, that I just said. That Pasuk of Dor L'Dor Yishabach Masecha, that we have, there's a precedent that they did it, so it must be okay for us. That's our only argument. Boomer. That's been the custom for generations, for ancestors, their ancestors. And we are going in their footsteps. And that's why in the bracha, introducing Pesuk Zimra, the bracha Amar, we say, Uvshirei David Abdachan Alocha. So we're going to quote Shirei David. We're not making stuff on our own. We have a precedent that we're allowed to do this. It's not our own idea. We're not making up our own shirot. And even if we are, and there's obviously other tefillot besides just the ones from Tehillim, but the fact that we're doing it comes from David. But this is an ancient tradition. It's been there for generations. That's where we're going to quote the song, the praises, the Sefer Tehillim Psalms. So David Adzecha. That's why we're doing that. The first half of Ashrei is this dialogue. How can we pray? The answer is everyone. The previous generations did it, and what they praise God with is not some kind of description of God that's impossible, but of what God does. God's miracles, God's power in the world. But the climax is that is the ultimate in what we're saying God's power is. We have God, you open your hands and provide for all living things with favor, as I think Rabbi Miller, when I was growing up, would like to say that in English. I still remember him calling that, right? You provide with everything with favor that we all have food to eat. The very fact that exists, that I can wake up in the morning and I still have energy, is a miracle. I need to appreciate that. That's what Asher is about. That's what Gemara Brachot says. Anyone who says Kilo David Ashrei 3 times a day, he will clearly inherit the world to come. Why? And a couple of reasons are given, but the big one is Mishum to eat Bay Patech et Adecha, because it has this pasuk of Patech et Adecha. And the Maharal, when he's discussing the Seder, he's talking about the 4 cups of wine. He says there's a minhag to have a 5th cup. Some people have a 5th cup. The Gemara discusses where you have it. We don't drink it. We just put it in the middle of the table and call it Kos Eliyahu, this 5th cup, out of the 4 cups of the Seder. He says, but the symbolism of that, because he says the symbol of that is that the Parnassus, the fact that we exist afterwards, is greater than all the open miracles you see at Mitzrayim, going out of Egypt. We have 4 cups to celebrate you see at Mitzrayim, going out of Egypt, and we have the 5th cup that we're still here today. This is why that rabbis talk about a 5th cup. But again, we don't drink it because it's not clear if we should or not. After they said, okay, you should have these 4 cups of wine for the redemption. They established that we should have this 5th cup of wine corresponding to what, again, parnasa in modern Hebrew means earning a living. The money you make. The Parnassah in the Gemara refers to the sustenance, the fact that we have food, drink, shelter, clothing. And that Parnassah is Gedolah min Golah. That's a greater miracle. You should appreciate it more than being redeemed from Egypt. Rak Yehu Rishut, but that cup is not mandatory. It's not one of the cups we have to drink. You're allowed to drink, yeah? On the night of the Seder, they had the 4 cups that celebrate the Geula, the redemption. But it's still a good thing to have this 5th cup. He thinks the Maharal thinks you should actually drink Kos Eliyahu. Right at that point, you should have another cup of wine.
Rabbi Kosher, who was Bracha Friedman's dad. He was in charge of Torah Shlema, and he wrote Haggadah Shlema, and he also pushed for the 5th cup. But he talked about the 5th cup as having been brought into Israel, that, you know, now that we have Israel, and we live in Israel, and we have the government of Israel.
That, yeah,
you know, I think the 5
Geulas,
is that the last one where we're brought into Israel?
Right. So that we talked about, the pasuk has 4 Lashonah Geulah, different words describing Geula. Lakachti, Hitzalti, I saved them, I brought them, and all that. And the 5th one is Heveti, I brought them in. So that's the Zionist argument for the 5th cup, is that we've achieved sort of the 5th stage of the Geula. That's a different approach than Maharal does.
But now I feel bad because I don't know if Rav Kosher drank the 5th cup or not. I don't know. I never asked that question.
But I know you're talking about it. He definitely talks about it. The Maharal has a different way of looking at it. The 5th cup is not the next stage of the Geula, the redemption, but it's the next stage of existence. That once we've gotten past the miracle of redemption, we've got to wake up every morning and live our lives every morning, and that's what our 5th cup should be. It's a different approach than Rakasha's.
Okay.
And that's what, again, that's what the Maharal says. Maharal wasn't the Zionist then. He's not in the 1500s. Ki achar, this is the Maharal again. After Hashem stated, God supported B'nai Yisrael, everything they needed. They had the food they needed. We talked on Shabbos that the food was miraculous. Of course, they complained about it, but they had water, they had clothing, they had shelter, and that wasn't as obvious a miracle. It was a miracle nonetheless. The Hemichlag, that was part of the redemption. Kamoshin Bar Lamala, because he talks about Ze'inyan Kosh Chamishi, that's the fifth cup. That's why the Maral looks at this fifth cup, as in the existence after the Geula. That's what our Halal B'chol Yom is all about. Saying Halal, we want to praise God every day. What's interesting is that we say this, Potech Yedachu must be Al-Chol Karaton, God satisfies every living thing with favor, but we don't end Ashrei there. Continue on. Don Yerev Yaseh, and Shomer Karov Hashem L'Chol Rav, we have a series of praises that seem to have little to do with each other. Seems to be a random set of psukim afterwards until we finally end with Banach Nevarachah that we will all together praise God. Got the tzaddik, got justice, desire for prayer, is karov l'chol karov that we pray to him, for Sonya Rayav, Hashem helps us to fear him, and then we have this really out of context for Ashrei that Kol Rishim Yashmid, God will destroy all the wicked. Now, we go this very positive thing, this very negative, violent thing there. So the question is, what is the end of Ashrei doing there? So this is an insight that I saw from Rabbi Avi Baumol. I think, Ruth, you know, didn't you? Or you taught the boys? He has a book called Poetry of Prayer. It talks about Tehillim. Says that those psukim basically are introduction to the rest of Psukim Zimra. Each one corresponds to these next five prakim, the next five chapters of Tehillim that we're going to say. Each one of the Sukkim of Ashrei is the introduction to that. The first one of these last five Sukkim is Tzadik Hashem B'chol Drachav, V'chasi B'chol Masad. God is just, and that corresponds to the next parak that we'll look at, which says, Oseh Mishpat Lo Shukim, God does justice for the oppressed, Matin Lechem Revim, gives bread to the hungry, Matir Asrim, frees the bound. Second pasuk of these five is Karov Hashem B'chol Karav, it's talking about those who pray to God, and the next parak in that series of five, the second one is Rotzeh Hashem Ezriyav, God finds favor with those who fear him, et hamiyachalim lachasto, those who seek his mercy. Again, then we're introducing the idea of tefillah here. The next pasuk is Ratzon Yerav Yaseh, that God does the will of those who fear him. That corresponds to Vayaram Karen Lamo, that God raises the horn, raises the glory of his people, the praise of all those who are all of his chassim, those who are pious for God. That's what Tonya Rav Yaseh. And that pasuk about Rishaim Yashmid, that God will wipe out the wicked, corresponds to the fourth parak, which is Vasot Nekamagav Yim, God will do vengeance among the nations, the Chobulumim will rebuke all the other nations, and we'll have to see that, and why we bring that into our Halal B'chol Yom. And then we end with Vivarech Kol Basar Shekdat Sholam Ve'ed, corresponds to that, the end of Psukim Zimra, which is Kol Shema Telecha, that everyone and all of our neshama should praise God. The bottom line is that we say, Patech Nedechu Maspil L'chol Karatzon, but it's not that simple. There's a lot more to be said, and we're going to say it. That's what these Rakim are all about. All about how we see God in nature and in the world, and that how it manifests God's greatness. And so, and why that war is the Hallelujah. Hallel, we publicly praise God. And that's all. But we have plenty of time. We say these prakim every day as an introduction. And we call them Psukim Zimra. Because they're both a way of giving ourselves permission to pray, that we said before, but also a way of preparing ourselves for tefillah. That's what Psukim Zimra means. We translate often the Psuke to Zimra, we usually translate it as the verses of praise. But Zimra also has the sense of pruning or cutting away. This is the way the Rambam puts it, Hilgaspil. V'shivchu Chachamim Arishanim. The original Chachamim, praise anyone. Misha Korizimiro, Misefer Tehillim B'chol Yom. whoever says these chapters from Tehillim every day. It's not one of the obligations. You have to say Shema every day. You have to say Shemona Esrei. That was an obligation. Psukah Zimra was something that was praised. That would be a good thing. Pain in Tilalo David, that's Sofa Sefer. We go from Ashrei till the end of the Sefer Tehillim, those last six chapters. Barnago, the crook is came with Nehem, Lachayhem, and then he says, well, Ramam says, we already had a bunch of other psukim beforehand. We say Hozu, we say Yichvod, and then we say Az Yashir, we say a bunch of other things in there, but the basic Psukah Zimra are those five prakim. Tiknu Chachamim Bracha Lefnez Mirot, and the Chachamim set up a bracha beforehand, which is Bracha Amar, Bracha Achrein, Yishtabach, sets this unit of Psukah Zimra. The reason for it, the Gemara says, Dorash Rav Simlai, La'olam Misadeh Adam Shibcha Shal Kash Baruch Hu V'achar Kein Yitzchach Yitzalel, that a person should always praise God, set up an order of praising God, and then after that, you can start actually praying. Way of preparing for tefillahs, what Psukah Zimra about. This is from an essay by Rav Eliezer Melamed, who's one of the big religious Zionist leaders. Bamriya Psukah Zimra. When we say Psukah Zimra, we're talking about the greatness of the Creator. And once we do that, we can now start praying. And that allows us to know who we're standing before us. If we didn't do this, there would be a concern that when we're asking God for things, it would be like otam ovdei avodah zarah. We would basically idolatry, theurgy, fancy word that where you can control God. I say my mystical incantations and I get what I want. That's not what we're trying to do. Because we're trying to avoid that. But achar shetiharanu libeinu, once we purify our hearts, we start praising God's greatness. Now we know how to pray. Not as a sense of we are manipulating God by saying these things, but we're actually asking. So now when we ask for our help, our sustenance, we'll ask it so in order that we can come closer to God. And glorify God. Sanctify God's name in the world. And that's the only way our prayers will be accepted. That's what it means, Psukah Zimra, the verses of Zimra. We lush and shiva Zimra. Yeah, it means song, melody. The Gam Lishon Zimrata Karam also has a sense of pruning, of cutting away. Just someone who's pruning their vineyard, is cutting away all the superfluous branches. That's what Zimra, that's what Lizmor means. In order to strengthen all the other branches that are actually going to bear fruit. So that's what our Psukah Zimra is supposed to prune away all the superfluous thoughts. We eliminate all those other thoughts, like Ashotar, all these negative feelings. We talk Chachtala, Tzkabelts, like the people that attain us, so that our prayers can be pure and be accepted. And since we can now purify our thoughts, limit our thoughts by saying Psukah Zimra, that's what gives us our joy, and that's why the Psukah Zimra, and that's what brings it into the sense of song and celebration. We have to, in order to ask God for what we want, there's a very fine line, a delicate line there. Because we normally assume our lives just work. We don't feel God providing us everything all the time. But here we're actually intentionally doing that. We're saying we're asking for God's hashgacha pratit. But that makes us into a nudnik, as Rav Soloveitchik puts it, to ask for all these little petty things. And by asking for it, it gets a sense that we're turning again. We talked about theurgy, telling a supernatural power. And it turns into magical incantation. So that we're using Psukah Zimra to remind ourselves that's not what we're doing. praising God, and that's part of the praise is actually the asking. And that's, this is Rob Cook talked about this a lot. This is what he talked about in Gemara Bracha. Joshua Tzila Tetzei Nikiya, we call Rayon HaMoreh, Shinui Raton, that we need to dive into Hashem. We need to pray to Hashem without any thought that we're going to change God's mind. We're not manipulating God. We hit Pa'alut B'chol Kashem Yiparach. We're somehow making, acting on the divine will. Deep shoots up. And there's a simple way of understanding that. We're not making God do anything. We're not changing God's mind. Because this is a heretical idea, and it will bring the Chokol Dea Kozevet Be'elokut, just like any heretical idea, it destroys our humanity. We become worse people if we are pagans. If we think that the force of nature are things that we can manipulate, if we don't have that kind of humility that we need to realize that God's in control. That's Rav Kook. The problem with the Akozevet, with these kind of heretical thoughts, is not so much that a religious, but it makes us worse people. We're better people for having that humility of being, of acknowledging that God controls the world. That's very Rav Kook. Ramot ha-nefesh v'zulata ba'idei tefila v'ha-gunah, that the elevation of our soul that comes from a real tefila is something that we lose if we're not looking at it correctly. Al-ken tzirach she'abin kol mitpalel, therefore anyone who prays needs to understand that tefila hi'chok nifla, that tefila is actually a gift. It's a wonderful rule that God has given. Sh'chakach ha-kash baruch hu ba'olamo, la'shamat yatro. That God is allowing us to make us better people. We have a shalem yetzer to perfect our nature. Behold, in every possible perfection. Ability to pray is in fact a gift. It's not an idea that we're somehow changing the rules that God made. Okay, Roy Shekoin Kot Tfila, Tukdam Sipur Shebach, and that's why we need to start by praising God's power in the world, and that's what Pesukim are all about. And so, to put it a little bit mystically here, there's a halacha. You know, we're not supposed to talk between Barsha Amar and Yishtava. Rambam said, because those are basically two brachot that go together. So you can't interrupt in the middle of bracha. You can't interrupt between the beginning of Bracha of Shema and the end of Bracha of Shema. So that's one series of Bracha. You got to say them all together. You can't interrupt. You can't interrupt in the middle of Shema and Esrei. One series of Bracha. You got to say them all together. You can't interrupt and talk between Shema and Shema and Esrei. Because the Gemara says you're supposed to be so mishka'ula tefila. Bring those together. We're also not supposed to interrupt between Pesukei Zimra and Bracha of Shema. We're really not supposed to talk at all from the time you start Pesukei Zimra until after Shemona Esrei. And nobody ever listens to that, I realize that. But ideally, you shouldn't be talking in the middle of that. If you need to talk, wait till afterwards. But the halacha of not interrupting between the end of Pesukei Zimra, between the Bracha of Yishtava and the beginning of Bracha of Shema, is interesting. This is the way the Shulchan Aruch puts it. A Masaper ben Yishtava l'yotzer. If you talk between the bracha of Yishtava, the end of Pesukei Zimra, and the bracha of Yotzer Ar, beginning of bracha of Shema, avera hi biyado. That's a sin. Not interrupting the middle of a series of brachot, but you need to make sure that you keep the continuity between Pesukei Zimra and the bracha Yotzer Ar. If you don't do that, you talk between there, it's an avera hi biyado. That's a sin. Chozer ala me'orche mocha. And it's a sin that you would leave the battlefield for. Which is a weird way to put it. Mr. Brewer explains that the Orche Milchama, you would leave the battlefield. The Tzolomach. Talking about the halacha in Devarim that says that when the Jews would go out to war, someone would get up there and say, if you just married a woman, you can go back home. If you just planted a vineyard, you can go back home. You just bought a house, you can go back home. And then, if you're afraid, tenderhearted, you can go home. You can't be in the fight. you're gonna destroy everyone else's morale. Amr Chazal, that what kind of fear are you talking about? Chazal say, is a hayarei me'averot shebi'adav. That you're afraid you have sins in your hand, right? If you're a sinner and you're afraid, well, God's gonna punish me and therefore punish my entire unit and we're gonna lose, then you can go, you can leave the battlefield. You don't need to fight. And the Shulchan Aruch is saying that this is the kind of sin they're talking about. You've talked between Yishtabach and Yotzer Ar, therefore you don't, that's an Avera, and you can leave the battlefield. You can leave the front. Very strange. So the Elia Rabba Katav, the Chavetz Chaim Mishabur is quoting the Elia Rabba, the Rishon, the same Matef Moshe, that this is really a mystical idea. Why specifically mention this idea that, okay, this has an Avera, you can't do it, and you can leave the battlefield? That's talking symbolically, that we all have these klipot. We have shells that keep our tefillah from moving on. These little things that separate us from God. And the idea of psukit zimra, talking about the zimra, is to prune. It removes those klipot, removes that things that keep us from being close to Hashem. That's what psukit zimra is supposed to be. It's a mental pruning. It removes those things that block us. But as soon as you start talking, you make this interruption. You've done Psukhi Zimra, now you're in a position where you can dive it. Now you're talking about something else. Then all the klipot come back. You just lost all that mental preparation you were supposed to have had in your diving. So that's the sin that you leave the battlefield of tefillah. And so that we are, our tefillah is there to symbolically do battle with all the bad things that are happening in our lives. All of a sudden, we're going to fail because now we're no longer able to daven. Therefore, you shouldn't be talking here because you need to keep that mental state of Psukhi Zimra going through the rest of our davening. That's the purpose of Psukhi Zimra. Can I say I actually do that? No. I'm always coming late enough that I'm just mumbling all the words. But it's a goal. It's something to be thinking about. But actually, you should care about the words, and so that over the next few weeks, Mirat Hashem, we will look at those words and try to learn how to use that in our tefillot. But I will stop here. I thank you for joining me.
Danny?
Yes.